Welcome back. Chucky's coming to you live on 106.7 The Fan and the Team 980. We've been talking about training camp, Odyssey Sports training camp coverage brought to you nationally by Geico. Switch and save. Get more with Geico. Of course, Terry McLaurin at training camp, but not practicing. Mm-mm. And he won't be playing on Monday night against the Cincinnati Bengals.
I'm going to guess by middle of next week he's out on the field. He better be.
We'll see. We'll talk to Mo Egger next. Actually, he joins us right now on the Rude Guest Hotline. Rude's the most reliable heating and air conditioning products in the DMV. So, Mo, last year you dealt with what we're dealing with here in Washington with Ja'Marr Chase. Can you fill us in on kind of the drama of Ja'Marr Chase's hold-in last year?
You know, I mean, as these things kind of go, there wasn't a ton of drama. Ja'Marr was here. He wasn't practicing, but he also really wasn't talking. And I don't think there's anybody who thought that we were going to get to week one and have the Bengals play without Ja'Marr Chase. And so, you know, it was, we seemingly go through one of these every year. God knows we're going through it this year with Trey Hendrickson. You know, they've become almost so routine here that I don't want to say they're not distractions, but if there's a franchise in the NFL that has practice and is used to being able to handle a training camp hold-in or some sort of contract squabble, it's the Cincinnati Bengals. They do it almost every single year. And so the distraction part of it was minimal. Now, when they played the first game last season against the New England Patriots, the lack of playing time, the lack of practice time with Joe Burrow and Ja'Marr Chase on the field together came back to bite them. And all last year, all summer long, we kind of defaulted to, well, you know, Joe and Ja'Marr have been playing with each other since college. If there's a quarterback and wide receiver who can, you know, pick up where they left off without much practice time, it's those two. That turned out to not be the case.
It's not that easy. Yeah, it's not that easy.
Exactly. So it hurt them. It hurt them when they played their first game, but I think the distraction part of it was kind of minimal.
Hmm. Well, yeah, we were just dealing with this every day. And and Chase, of course, took out an insurance policy last year. I think it was $50 million, and then signed at the end of the year. Signed a huge deal, and he's certainly worth it. We're just kind of hoping McLaurin, even if he doesn't agree to a deal with the team, is at least out there practicing because, like you said, even for veterans, it's not that easy just to go out there, miss 4 weeks of practice, and then act like nothing's wrong and have that chemistry that you had last year. It's not that easy to do.
No, it's not. I mean, you know, again, if Ja'Marr Chase and Joe Burrow need practice time, then Jaden Daniels and Terry McLaurin need practice time. And that was acknowledged. I mean, that was acknowledged kind of, you know, after they got off to their typical 0-2 start last year, 0-3, that, you know what, maybe had Ja'Marr been on the practice field, things would have been a little bit better. They were also coming off a scenario where obviously Joe Burrow had just come off the surgeon's table the winter before, and I'm not sure he was completely comfortable that first game. But, yeah, I'd love to go back in time and see how that game would have unfolded had Ja'Marr and Joe been on the practice field for at least a few workouts just to work out some stuff.
All right, so let's talk about what to expect on Monday night. It seems like you guys are taking a different approach to preseason because you've been notoriously having these slow starts with Zach Taylor as your head coach. Burrow, of course, played in the first game, played well.
What
will we see on the field here on Monday night?
You're going to see a lot of familiar names for the reason you just outlined. This team has lost its opener each of the last 3 years. They've started 0-2 each of the last 3 years. And after they were worked by Jaden Daniels and the Washington Commanders in week three last year, they started 0-3. But it's not just the losses, it's how they've looked. They've looked disjointed, unprepared, disorganized. You could use a lot of different adjectives. And so they've changed around a lot of things here during preseason. I think there was a heavier emphasis on physicality at the start of training camp. And they're obviously playing guys in the preseason. Joe Burrow had played exactly two series in the preseason for his entire career prior to last week against the Philadelphia Eagles, and he played great. Unfortunately, the game itself kind of reminded us of last year where Joe Burrow was awesome. The defense is the exact opposite. The plan for this week is Joe and the starters are going to play for basically the entire half.
Wow.
I think it would be unsurprising if you saw some of the defensive starters even playing in the third quarter. And look, their turnaround to their next preseason game is very quick. They're going to play Monday night, and then they have a 1 o'clock Saturday game to round out the preseason. So you're not going to see anybody play in that game. Mm-hmm. So you're going to see a lot of guys who are familiar. And if you know a Bengals fan in your life, they're going to be kind of watching through their fingers, hoping that nothing bad happens to any of the players who matter because they are going to play so extensively.
How big of a year is this for Zach Taylor, considering the slow starts the last few years? 9-8, 9-8, didn't make the playoffs the last couple of years.
It's enormous.
Yeah.
It's enormous.
Even though, you know, went to a Super Bowl, went to a championship game the year after that, but this the last 2 years is not good.
Yeah, look, I mean, I kind of look at 2 years ago and go, that's not on Zach. I actually thought he did a really good job getting that team to 9-8 two seasons ago in a year where Joe Burrow missed seven games. But the reality is they have a quarterback who had an MVP caliber season last year, and they didn't even make the playoffs. And quite frankly, really didn't come that close to making the postseason. They've overhauled the coaching staff, new defensive coordinator, lots of new position coaches, new offensive line coach. NFL head coaches only get so many opportunities to kind of, you know, hit the reset button with their staff before the finger is pointed at them. And as much as the Bengals have a reputation, and largely deservedly so, for patience and giving their head coach a very long leash, they have examined his job status before. They did it after the 2020 season, which was his second NFL year. And they did it after last season. It was a discussion among the people who run the club. You know, is it time to move on? Ultimately, though, I think the deciding vote is going to be Joe Burrow's, because you saw what the Bengals did this offseason. They allowed Joe Burrow to pivot them in a direction regarding T. Higgins that they were not going to go in. So if this season ends and Joe Burrow says emphatically, I want Zach Taylor to stay, he's probably going to stay. But I think it is fair to put him on the list of coaches whose seat is at least warm. I don't want to be Zach Taylor if this team is on the outside looking in at the postseason again this year.
Right, because that'd be 3 years in a row after finishing 9-8 the last couple of
seasons. Well, you can't lose. It's an absolute must-win to play Cleveland in week one, even though it's at Cleveland. You can't lose that game.
You're right, but I mean, you know, look at last year. They hosted the New England Patriots.
I know, and they looked terrible. Right? Right? Yeah.
Oh, we lost our Circus Survivor Pool.
Yeah, we were in the Survivor Pool. Yep.
Yes. I mean, we talked about that exact topic extensively. Like, all right, you know, you're going to be a homer, but if you're going to pick the Bengals at all, it's going to be at home, huge favorites against New England, and they laid an egg. The year prior, they laid an egg against the Cleveland Browns. And the year prior to that, Joe Burrow had six turnovers against the Pittsburgh Steelers. They have invented new ways to lose the season opener every year. And so, yeah, man, on paper, you look at the Browns, your guess is as good as mine as to who their quarterback is going to be, possibly could have the number one overall pick at the end of this season. But there's not a Bengals fan alive who is going to tell you that they're going into that game with total confidence because of this team's awful track record in week one.
Yeah. So you feel good, obviously, about the offense because they got so many weapons. How do you feel in general about the defense? Do you think it's going to be better?
Can't be worse.
It can't be worse. I mean, you know, that's a cop-out answer, but it can't be, right? I mean, everybody says here, well, they've just got to be league average. And, you know, that makes sense if the offense is as good as to be expected, and the defense is somewhere close to the middle of the pack, this team should be okay. But, you know, how many games last year did the defense knock it off the field in a situation where if they do, they either win or they give Joe Burrow a chance to go win the game? That's what I'm kind of curious. And look, you know, we talk about familiar faces. I think most of us, when last season ended, we expected the Bengals to hire a new defensive coordinator, which they did, and we expected them to kind of overhaul the defense, right? Bring in more free agents, cut loose some dudes who were here last year. And instead, the philosophy has basically been, we'll draft some guys on defense, we'll add a free agent here or there, but we're running it back with everybody. They haven't brought in a player in the secondary, either in free agency or in the draft. They're telling Al Golden,
wow,
the new defensive coordinator, you've got to achieve better results with the same cast of characters that got Lou Anarumo fired. Now, I happen to think there's some players back there in the secondary that have some upside, but you're also talking about a lot of guys who either got benched last year or didn't play a lot, or when they played, they were awful. A risky proposition. If it pays off, this team's going to be fine because they've got number nine. They've got all world weaponry. If it fails, it's probably going to look a lot like last year where Joe Burrow has weeks where he's awesome and his team still doesn't win.
Last question. Will Shamar Stewart ultimately be a starter? I don't know where he is on the depth chart right now. I assume he's not yet.
I'll tell you what, you know, for as much as we spend all spring and summer talking about his contract issue, as soon as he came to camp, the talk has turned to how good he's been. He's been so good they've had to tell him, dude, don't touch Joe Burrow. He's going to start. Now, your guess is as good as mine as to what kind of impact he's going to make, because in college he barely sacked the quarterback. But if you watched him in the first preseason game, or if you would have had a chance to watch any of the Bengals practices, he has been, to this point, unblockable. Part of that is the Bengals offensive line is shaky, but I give the dude credit, because during that hold-in, there were a lot of folks wondering, God, does this guy really want to play here? The way he has practiced and the way he performed in the first preseason game would suggest, yes, that guy's ready to play.
Good stuff, Mo. It's Mo Egger. You can listen to him on ESPN 1530 in Cincinnati in the afternoons. Thanks, pal.
Anytime, guys. See ya.
Thank you, Mo.
Thank you, buddy. By the way, John Keim just DM'd me, because I probably saw your poll or whatever. He said, I could say with great assurance, Dan was not mad at the question. That was my interpretation. He said he's a dry sense of humor, although he says, I do think they're frustrated with the situation. I think that's pretty obvious.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you can vote at Glass Joe JP, because we can't figure out how to get back into the Junks Radio Twitter account. So it's on my page.
Oh, really?
Our Surfside poll
of the lost day. You forgot the password?
No. I actually have the password. I changed phones yesterday, and I had to reset up Twitter and Instagram and Facebook and all those things. And I put in the password, and I had saved the passwords, and it was in the cloud, so it was in my notes section. I put it in, but I get an error message, so don't know. Can't crack the code.
You know what? Good luck with that.
Email's getting sent to Drab. Maybe we'll figure it out.
That could be a nightmare.
All right. Well, the Junkies. Be right back.